It'll be on the website.
My first move would be to cover that up, so.
There. Oop, be nice if I clipped it to your tie. That might work better. There we go. Then just stick that anywhere that's comfortable for you. So in other words, I can give it to Chris and he can take it out the door then.
Yeah.
Morning.
Good morning.
Why don't we open with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we now look to your word, we're thankful for this season that actually was one of the big beginnings of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this earth in a way that we could understand and appreciate, because we had to know him physically, and we know that through the word of God. Open our hearts and minds as we study your word now, that it can be a blessing to each one of us, and I ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. When you, I've taught in other places, other churches, and I'm having to get to know everybody here.
Amen.
So you never know.
Well, you never know. Go ahead.
That's right. You never know. The shepherd is shooting the lamb. Anyways, looking at different aspects, because this is kind of like the Sunday before Christmas, I was looking at, okay, what's a little different way to look at Christmas? And every year we read through various scriptures, and the Christmas, or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is mentioned primarily in two books, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. Both books are written by different people. And for example, the book of Luke is written by a doctor. He was a physician. He was kind of like the family doctor. He had compassion, he had love, and it is believed that he was probably a Gentile. So he's going to bring that perspective to how he writes the book of Luke. It's a very organized book, like doctors look at things objectively to figure out what's wrong. The book of Matthew, however, was a book written by a Jewish person, written to Jewish people so that they could understand things from their perspective. Some of how I've tried to approach this today is I wanted to look at different individuals that are shown in the Christmas story. And kind of what I want, because everything in the Bible has a purpose, and there is symbolism to everything that we learn in the Word of God. And so one of the things that we're going to look at is I'm going to try and touch upon angels, shepherds. I want to just touch briefly upon Pharisees, Sadducees, Mary, Joseph, and then the baby. But what I want you to think about as you're going through this, put yourself in these people's place, and how would you see this if this happened to you? In other words, if you were a shepherd, how would you see this? You know, you're out in the field and this miraculous event happens. What would you think? And, you know, as Christians, we read through the Bible, and we read through it rather quickly, and we try to pick out words, and as Pastor Asquith says, study the words and where it is in other areas of Scripture, and you begin to get a feel for it. But I want you to kind of think, if I was this person, how would I feel? Okay, this may be a little disjointed. I've had kind of a weird week, a lot of things going on, but what I want to first start out is in, and you can follow along in the book of Luke in chapter 2. And this is primarily the theme of Christ is born. And I'm going to see how this works through this.
Just going to check your mic here real quick, brother. I hate to be disjointed.
That's fine.
But
you go ahead.
Something's not working right here.
You can check that and I will keep going.
That's where it was.
All right.
Nothing about getting everybody's attention early.
All right, now we're where we need to be.
Okay. We got our baby in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
In verse 1, chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Well, this is kind of setting the whole story up. As I come back and start touching on individuals, you'll begin to see pieces here. And now one of the individuals or types is angels. And this is their announcing of Jesus to the shepherds. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. What would you have thought if you were out in that field at night, in the dark, and the only thing there was stars, and then this supernatural being showed up? Now, we live in a day and age where people like to get fixated on UFOs. What would you think if all of a sudden this craft hovered over you? I can tell you, jump out of your skin.
Yeah.
Well, they were no different. They didn't have the Bible that tells them about angels. Angels are unique. But we find through this here that one, they had, and I've kind of laid this out in a line, outline like 1, 2, 3, 4 type thing. And they had a purpose and they had a job to do. This is angels. They were to proclaim a special event. Secondly, angels, as we noticed here, gave great praises to God. Three, they showed compassion and yet promoted respect for a holy God. Now that's important. We have a holy God.
Amen.
But they were showing respect. And we could find that. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So this is not to a specific group. They're proclaiming a real event. For they had a calming effect. In other words, they were saying, and this shall be assigned unto you. And verse 13, suddenly there was a great angel multitude. Now, what would you think of? Now, one angel became a whole lot of angels. But now they were, I would say, probably singing praises. So when we sing music, it kind of calms us down. We start to become more subtle. But and as I said, they were promoting the respect to a holy God. Verse 14 says, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So they're saying comfort. This is for your good, peace on earth. Now, you're not saying this is going to be a troubling time. Get excited. It's peace.
Amen.
Shepherds mentioned, they had a duty to do. They had a responsibility for caring for their flock. They were out there at night, at dark, protecting this livestock, whether it was theirs or someone that they were working for. But back to the angels. In the Old Testament, angels also had a calming effect. The interesting thing that Lord kind of made a point to me is, we as Christians now represented in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean angels aren't around, don't still work. We don't see them. We don't see the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But in 1 John 4:18 it says, perfect love casteth out fear. When the Lord was born, things changed. We now had the Holy Spirit. If you're a saved Christian, we now have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. So we now have God with us. So he is going to calm us and to show us. So there's a little change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It was a quiet night. What were shepherds? One, they were a poor, smelly group of farmers, is the way I would equate it. They weren't educated with a college degree. They did not own large, fancy houses. They were poor people. They had a job that was required of them. Some of the requirements, and you kind of think about this, pastor has a son that's in the military a little bit. If he's put out on guard duty, what is his job? To guard. So he is to be observant. Are there wolves around, the shepherds? They need to be responsible. They need to be caring. Yet disciplined, to be alert. In other words, the shepherd was not to go to sleep on his duty. Fourth, can you imagine how shocked and frightened they would have been to have been greeted by an angel under an open sky, yet lit with stars, yet a dark sky? There was no yard lights.
Amen.
This was dark. There was no place to run, no place to hide, and yet they were, most importantly, available. They were there. They weren't in a house. They were right out in the open. So God used, and this I think is truly is a pattern of the gospel, God uses poor people that are humble and contrite in heart. Sadly to say, most of the time, people with means don't need God, so they think.
Amen.
It's the one that's struggled through life, had a hard time, that God is able to get a hold of their heart and show them their truly their need. Next, a little bit of a sidebar here with Bethlehem. What was Bethlehem? It was a poor town, not a prominent town. There wasn't trade. And in the case, there was no temple there to distinguish it, that this was a well-known metropolis that everybody would want to go to. The Bible tells us it was just a little town. One of the things here with the shepherds, again, now I'm kind of emphasizing shepherds, was in verse 16, let's back up to verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. I'm resisting coffee.
Have at it if you need it.
Haste. If the house is burning, do you take your time leaving? If you're excited about something and you're, most of us are a little older and we have children or grandchildren coming, when they come to the door, pull in the driveway, we go by haste. We're excited. That kind of meant dropping everything and running to see something that was special and unique, or it is a means of showing great excitement and joy. How would we react if we were told Jesus Christ and about his free gift of salvation? Would we be excited? Were you excited the first time? One. Thank you. What are some of the excuses that people give? I can't accept Christ yet. Not yet, I'm not ready. Now, is this mount to haste? No. Two, I got to clean up my life. I got to stop sinning because God won't want me the way I am. Three, I got to do some good deeds to be worthy or to earn my salvation. How many times have you heard that? That's not haste. Remember, this is talking about shepherds. They're excited to learn something. Four, I would rather wait because I have other fun things to do first. Suppose that's our attitude and we're out in the field and the angels just proclaimed, this is what's going to happen. Five, the last kind of point here, I don't want to give up some pleasure of a lifestyle. I'm too busy. The shepherds did not use these excuses. They got up, and when it says haste, I believe they literally ran to town to proclaim what they had just experienced. The question is, like with shepherds and with us, when we hear the plan of salvation, the question I ask is, could we contain our excitement, and would we broadcast this experience to anyone who would be willing to listen? You know, it's easy for a pastor, Pastor Haynes. You know, everybody expects them to say something. But do they expect us to say something? Are we excited about what we have and what we have heard? Are we looking at things through the shepherd's eyes? Or are we just kind of lulled to sleep? These are kind of comparisons. There's contrast that I'm making here. Or could the contrast be, are we like sheep who walk around with our heads down, busy looking for food, with no care for tomorrow or others? See, there's examples of the way animals behave. I find it interesting that the Lord picked a lamb. Lamb is very quiet and very meek. They're not a bullheaded, generally, animal. They are easily frightened. But that typifies the symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not come here in great grand. Yes, this was grand and glorious, but it wasn't in the palace. He didn't come with a great name from a great family. He came very simply, very humbly, like a lamb.
Amen.
A lamb by nature, when the lamb goes to slaughter, the lamb still goes with its head down. Very quiet, it almost like it doesn't sense what it's going to happen. But it's also willing to be obedient, just like we follow a shepherd, pastor of the church. Do we follow the shepherd willingly without casting a lot of doubt? Well, I don't like what he said today, I'm not going to do that. Or do we say, yeah, he's got the good message for me? Jesus Christ has a good message for each one of us.
Amen.
Who are some other individuals that we saw? Now, here's a contrast. We all know that they're Pharisees and Sadducees. They were religious people. One, a book, scripture. They were knowledgeable of the scripture. Two, yet mostly they were blind because of what? Hypocrisy and pride. You know, these are men who studied the scripture. They knew what Isaiah said. They knew what the Old Testament had foretold of a Savior being born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, or that it was even going to be in the town of Bethlehem in Micah 5:2. They should have known these things. They should have been watching. Three, they were a dangerous lot. And we know that through the latter part of Jesus Christ's life, they sought to kill him. He was infringing upon their ego and their preaching in the street and their wordy prayers. They were more interested in promoting their spiritualness for their personal glory. They were a cold, hard-hearted, violent lot that sought ultimately to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not much different than the king or Pharaoh at the time. He heard, oh, this person coming is going to be the king of the Jews. That's competition. I got to get rid of him, but I got to be subtle, like Satan was in the garden. He was subtle. He snuck in. Oh, why don't you go? This is talking to the wise men who came, I don't know, a year or so after the Lord was born, but still. Herod was very subtle. Why don't you go find out where he is? And then come back and tell me about it, so I can go worship. Now, he had no intentions of worshiping, as we know, because children under 2 years of age were all murdered.
Right.
And the Old Testament talks about a great wailing being heard. Okay, next person that I kind of want to look to is Mary. Ladies, I want you to think about this. Put yourself in Mary's position. Mary was a pure, sweet, innocent virgin. In order for her to become pregnant and carry the Son of God, this meant for her literally to be disgraced. Three, that put her into danger because when a woman at that time was found pregnant and not married, she was stoned. So she, just envision yourself, you're pregnant. You can't explain it. And it, what are people going to think? Next, where of all places was Mary going to have this baby? They got to Bethlehem. No room in the inn. There's the little barn out back. Now, I don't know how many here are familiar with barns. You can put your hands up.
Yeah.
You can respond. I encourage dialogue. I very much encourage people to say something. Believe me, I have a barn and it's not clean and it's dirty. And you can clean it up now and 10 minutes later, they've blessed it again. Would the ladies like to have a baby in a barn? I don't care if the straw is clean. You probably, we're not going to go there. Another person is Joseph. And because of the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But the book of Matthew does not spend as much time and as descriptive as what goes on with the birth of Jesus Christ. But it's seen from a Jewish man's perspective. One, Joseph was, we are told, is a just, caring man trying to find lodging. Now, how would you feel? You're the husband of this pregnant wife that's way out here, and now she's starting to have pains. Do you care about your wife? You would not want to say, I'm sorry, it's cold, the buildings are closed, we don't have any room, where do I go? Well, we got the barn out back. Okay, at least it's shelter. You would feel like the dregs of the earth, wouldn't we, ma'am? Not only that, there wasn't a doctor right around either. So now you're on your own. Now, I don't know how many men here have been with their wives when they had their babies. Any? I wasn't. This was more of a newer thing, I think, later years. I was busy resting while she was having a hard time of it all. Two, Joseph trusted to care and to take out a task. He had a task appointed unto him because the angel told him what to do. He told him, this child is going to be from God. Your wife is just what you expected. She's betrothed. It's like she's married, but they haven't gone through the formal ceremony yet. He was told what the circumstances were so that he could be patient and understanding and caring. And because he loved his wife, he didn't want to see her disgraced. So he, it was a good excuse probably to go to Bethlehem because he got out of town. But he took her away privately so that she would not be disgraced. But he was also told by the angel that there was to be a proper name, and that's Jesus Christ. The angel told him, this is the name. Nope. Can anybody tell me what Jesus means?
God with us.
God with us? Savior. He was appointed also the job to raise up this son faithfully. Now, to himself, to God. Every one of us that have had children, it is a gift of God to have these children.
Amen.
And our responsibility is to, as Christians, is to raise our children for the Lord or for God. So that God is the one that gets the honor and glory because they're a blessing that we get to share for a little while. Now picture yourself as the baby. This baby is the Son of God who existed from the very beginning. He was involved with the forming of the earth and everything that we know. He was there with the Holy Spirit and with God the Father. Now he's got to look down on this sinful, disgusting earth and say, I got to go down there. I like it in heaven. It's just fine. Things are nice. It's like the palace, but down there it's dirty. Why, Father, should I have to go do this thing? Because he knew what was going to happen before he ever entered this earth. Remember, he never sinned. It's a key thing. He's not like us. We're prone to sinning. What was his first look into the world? Dingy, dirty, cold. He was in heaven, now he's on earth. Now he's in a cold, dark, sinful place. Now he's probably feeling a little bit abandoned from God the Father, who he's had fellowship with. The problem is, even as a baby, I believe the Lord still had knowledge of the task that was ahead of him. He knew ultimately the cross was what laid ahead of him. He already knew this. He knew there was going to be pain. He knew there was going to be suffering. It was dirty. It was degrading, humiliating. He was going to be stripped naked on the cross. He was going to be rejected by the very people that he came to this earth to lay down his life for. How many of you would do that? It's sometimes easy to do it for your children, but to do it for a neighbor, or somebody down the street that has had terrible sinful problems. Maybe they've been mean to you, mouthy, belligerent, somebody spits on you. What did you think? I'm not going to do that. Yet he didn't look at it this way. He didn't sin. He was not prideful. God, think about it. The Son of God on earth, I'm the Son of God. I'm special. And yet he came as a simple baby. And this is important. He could have come maybe like an angel, but he didn't. And I'm going to explain explain why I think he didn't. He had to come this way as a baby, literally in the flesh. Because if you're going to sacrifice something, it's going to be in the flesh. If you sacrifice a lamb, it's got to be a living lamb. Jesus Christ was somebody, as we know from the example of doubting Thomas, he had to literally put his fingers in the holes, physically touch Jesus Christ. He was prayerful, he was obedient. At the point in time when he was in the garden before the crucifixion, he prayed three times. Lord, is this cup going to pass from me? I'd rather not do this, but thy will be done. He was respectful. He could have stopped and got off the cross. I'm not going to that cross. You're not going to drive nails through my hands or wrists and live in the pain. I'm not going to do this. I can get down at any time. I created the heavens and the earth with the Father. I don't need this. I don't need these people. Long suffering. We're some 2,000 years later. Look at all the patience he's had. One of the last individuals here, I just made some notes on, wise men, what did they do? They brought gifts. They were intelligent people that recognized something was different in the sky. There was a star that they had not seen. Did they sit back and wonder what it was? No, they got up and said, we got to find out what that's all about. They traveled probably quite a long ways. I don't know where they came from, other than the Bible says from the east. Do you have it? Just says from the east. They brought gold, personal possessions of value, something that's tradable. Gold is something that is given to kings. It has high value. Jesus Christ, was this baby a king? Nope, he was born in poverty. Frankincense. Frankincense has a sweet odor. It's like a perfume. But it also is this kind of a symbol as in, think about this, in prayer and praise and glory. When we do an offering or have a prayer, what are we doing? We're offering up sweet praises in our worship service to God. That is a symbol of what frankincense means. The last one was myrrh. Myrrh is a bitter spice, but it shows forth, one of the things connected with myrrh or bitter spice is that it's suffering and death. It's a symbolism of what is going to happen down the road. It is also used as a burial spice. Both frankincense and myrrh were used in burial. These are all symbols of what the Lord Jesus Christ was going to mean down the road. He didn't come into this world in royalty. Sadly to say, most of the people with money or royalty, they don't listen to God. They don't need God. They think they're fine the way they are. Now, I can tell you, in our country now, most of us are well-to-do. Right. If you know any missionary that talks about, say, for example, going to Africa, they have a hard time finding water that's clean. They sleep in a little dirty hut that if it rains, it probably rains in. Food, I probably wouldn't want to eat, as would most of you. We're spoiled. They can get in, they don't get in a car and drive to the next town to see the doctor. And if they have to go to, if they're Christians and they go to church, they might walk 10 miles or longer to spend most of the day at church. Most of us don't travel, Neil travels quite a ways. Most of us don't travel 30 minutes. Most of us have the comfort of a car to ride in. We have a lot to be thankful for. But one of the most important things is, if Jesus Christ hadn't come to the earth as a baby starting out in the flesh, it would never have been possible to get to what we celebrate as Easter Sunday, the crucifixion. He is a symbol of the sacrificial lamb that laid down his life for each one of us. We have one job to do. Realize that we are a sinner. Accept that free gift of salvation. You know, it's Christmas. We like gifts.
Amen.
I use the example of presents are put around under the tree. They have your name on it, right? That's never your present until you pick it up and take it, is it?
That's right.
You have to accept it. Once you claim it, it's now yours. That's the same thing with salvation. You have to accept it and take it and claim it. Then do we have the haste about wanting to share what Jesus Christ did for us? Do we get about the business of doing things from the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that we're going to, through our duties or things that we do at church, bring honor and glory to Him as praise? Whether it's offering or our time, it's still the same. It's praise to God. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our service. He just wants our love and obedience.
Amen.
At this point, I'm just a little after quarter two, so I'm going to let Pastor Athquick close in prayer for us.
Father, I thank you for the reminder of that great gift. Just to think about how we would react to these things. I do thank you for the children having their time downstairs for Sunday school class. Bless our 11 o'clock service, and I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother, we're glad to have you with us.